Welcome to Health Matters with Fred Bottomer on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Hi there, and thanks a lot for joining me again today. Hope you're having a great weekend. Lots to talk about today, including that devastating COVID outbreak in India and the latest on vaccine hesitancy. But first, let's get started with our co-host, Dr. Fred Buchhold. Dr. Buchhold is a SLU care general internist at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital. Dr. Buchhold, thanks for joining us again.
Oh, my pleasure.
What can you tell us about the CDC's new guidelines regarding outdoor mask guidance? What do we need to know?
Well, I think it's a little challenging to try to understand all the ramifications of this, but I think the simple thing is this. I think essentially if you are vaccinated and you're in a public open space, so you know, think of this like a park, going for a walk, you're not in any kind of shelter whatsoever, you do not have to wear a mask if you're vaccinated. The other thing is that with dining, if you're dining outdoors, so again, not in a restaurant, but outside, and you're with others that are vaccinated, so even not even people in your family, but with other couples or other friends or family, you can dine without wearing a face mask as well. Larger public meetings, so again, if you go to like an outdoor concert where there's a lot of people around or anything like that, would be something where a mask is required. So those are kind of the key takeaways for me. So, you know, for me, going for a walk with my wife or going for a hike, you don't have to wear a mask.
Dr. Buchhold, more than 100 colleges and universities are now going to require students to get the COVID-19 vaccine, including Washington University. What do you think of that?
If you want colleges to get back to that kind of in-person learning experience, which I think is vital, it's the same thing for schools, too. You know, just my own anecdotal evidence with my children is there's a huge difference between, you know, attending class in person and those interactions versus virtual learning. Again, for kind of perspective, colleges also have vaccine requirements for a lot of other diseases. So meningitis, you need to get your tetanus booster. Vaccine requirements to enter an educational facility is just already a requirement. This is just another one in the midst of a pandemic. So I see this as a kind of a necessary and kind of given step if colleges, campuses want to get back to in-person and have that community experience. That's really important for college in my mind.
We're talking with Dr. Fred Buchhold. Dr. Buchhold is a SLU care general internist at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital. Dr. Buchhold, the Pfizer CEO, says a pill to treat COVID-19 could be available by year's end. What do you think about a pill?
Well, it's great. So, I mean, the idea with this basically is it's a medication that blocks the kind of the transmission or the replication of the virus RNA. So the idea behind this is you would take it when you have a kind of start to have symptoms of infection, or, you know, I would think maybe even if you've been exposed, and that theoretically should prevent the growing of the virus within your body. So it's the same technology we use for the medications used to treat HIV and now hepatitis C as well. It's not the same pill. It's just kind of the same conceptual way of dealing with a virus. I think a couple of weeks ago we talked about Pfizer and my skepticism of this. I mean, I haven't seen the studies yet, so if this is effective or not. I certainly hope so. And it certainly, like I said, a strategy for this would be not only for the treatment, but for the prevention of people that have been exposed, which would be helpful practically in dealing with this from a physician perspective and a public health perspective. But, you know, I'd like to see the data first and see what that comes out. So time will tell, but it's a good idea.
Dr. Buchhold, what can you tell us about the FDA moving to ban menthol cigarettes and flavored cigars?
Well, I applaud it. I haven't been shy in my opinion that I think smoking is absolutely disgusting and, you know, it does no good. I mean, so many health conditions are related to smoking. And when you reduce or limit the access to cigarettes or other forms of tobacco, the rates of health outcomes improve drastically. I think I learned in med school, and I don't know what the number is now, but there's, I think, 150 different toxins in a cigarette that can cause some kind of injury, you know, scarring, damage, cancer, heart disease. So, you know, menthol is kind of the last of the flavored components that are added to these products to make them more tasty. And so it's just another, you know, element removed that can cause health issues to cigarettes. But, you know, again, if I had my way, I'd ban them outright, not because of my political beliefs, but it's because they cause health problems and there's no real upside to them other than the addictive properties that they have.
Dr. Buckle, thanks a lot for your time again. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's always my pleasure, Fred. Appreciate it.
Dr. Fred Buckle is a SLU care general internist at SSM Health, St. Louis University Hospital. Now, let's get the latest on vaccine hesitancy since last week's lifting of the temporary ban on the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine. Here to talk with us is Dr. Hillary Babcock. Dr. Babcock is a Washington University infectious diseases physician at Barnes Jewish Hospital. Dr. Babcock, thanks for joining us again.
Happy to be here.
So what do we need to know with the readmittance of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine for use in the United States?
So this is great news. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is a very effective vaccine. It's a very convenient vaccine with the only needing one dose. So it's a great option for people who, for whatever reason, only want to get one shot or can't get back to for a second shot in one of the two-dose series. I think it also shows that the FDA and CDC are taking all safety concerns very, very seriously. So with just a handful of cases of concern, they stopped using this vaccine altogether. It's great to have it back available with just some enhanced warnings for certain populations.
Do you fear there has been a loss in confidence for the J&J vaccine?
I hope not. It's a very safe and effective vaccine. The CDC and FDA have been very clear that for women between the ages of 18 and 50, there is a very small but real increased risk of clotting after getting this vaccine. So for that population, if they have easy access to an alternative vaccine, then that's better for them to get. But if the choice is between no vaccine and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, then it's better to get the J&J vaccine because the risk from having COVID, which can also cause clotting and can get people very sick and end them up in the hospital and kill people, those risks are really higher than the risk from the vaccine.
Dr. Babcock, vaccinations have slowed over the past week. How concerning is that to you?
That's pretty concerning to me. I am hoping that people are going to be continuing to come out and get the vaccines. There are lots of different vaccines available. You can pretty much choose which vaccine you want to get. Vaccines are now available pretty much on a walk-in basis at a lot of vaccine sites, and including at BJC sites at a Clayton Avenue building down here near Barnes Jewish Hospital and up at Christian Hospital. You can just walk in to get a vaccine anytime that those clinics are open. So I'm hoping people will continue to get the vaccine. The more people get vaccinated, the sooner we'll be able to get back to reopening restaurants and sporting events and concert venues and all of those things.
And it seems like there's a handful of people that are not going back for their second dose of the vaccine. Tell us, how important is that second dose?
That second dose of the two-dose vaccines is actually really important. So you do get some protection after the first dose, but not as good protection as you do if you get the second dose as well. And we don't know how long the protection from the first dose lasts. If you don't get the second dose. So getting that second dose increases your protection and increases how long you're protected. So it's really important to go back and get that second dose.
Dr. Babcock, can you address the side effects some people are seeing after their vaccine? What's likely and how important is it not to let that be a turnoff?
So there's just a new information that came out estimating that after the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, probably about 10% of people will have what we call a systemic side effect. So they might have a low-grade fever, some aches, some chills, things like that. Most people have only a sore arm. Some people may feel a little tired. So that means that 90% of people who get the vaccine are only going to have a sore arm and they're going to do fine. And then a 10% may feel not great for a day or two after they get the vaccine, but it goes away quickly. I myself had a little low-grade fever after my second dose, lasted for a day, and then it went away and I felt great.
Dr. Babcock, anything else you want people to know?
Do keep going out and getting your vaccines. Encourage your friends and family, your colleagues, your neighbors to go get vaccinated so we can all have a summer that we want to have.
Dr. Babcock, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Sure. Happy to be here.
Dr. Hillary Babcock is a Washington University infectious diseases physician at Barnes Jewish Hospital. Coming up next on Health Matters, we'll talk with a local doctor who has family in India, which is in the midst of a devastating COVID-19 outbreak there. This is KMOX Health Editor Fred Bottomer. You're listening to Health Matters on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Welcome back to Health Matters with Fred Bottomer on KMOX.
The COVID-19 crisis in India continues to grow worse. Here to talk with us about that is a native of India, Dr. Krishna Kanakadandala. Dr. Kanakadandala is an anesthesiologist with SSM Health. Dr. Kanakadandala, thanks a lot for joining us.
A pleasure.
So you're from India and you still have family there. Tell us what you're hearing.
Yeah, I have a lot of relatives at home, and I frequently go to India 3-4 times a year because my mom is still there. Situation in India is pretty bad. There are several reasons for that. The primary reason is there's a different strain of COVID. It's called second mutations. So that's one of the reasons why it's spreading very fast. And Indian infrastructure in healthcare could not handle this type of pandemic anymore. So the whole thing is very, very sad right now. People are dying. India has 17 million cases and 200,000 deaths. But actually, those numbers are not accurate. They could be most probably 4 to 5 times more than the official death toll. There are two reasons for this whole issue. Number one is we did very well. We flattened the curve last year. Indian government did a good job having lockdowns. And once the curve flattened and the deaths all came down, most probably the infected cases came down to almost 10,000 per day. Everyone was relaxed. They didn't even wear the masks. And then it is like normal day. There's no, people forgot about the COVID. The politicians played an important role here because they conducted elections, and 186 million people voted in those elections in month of March and April. And that's a big deal because those people don't wear masks, and there'll be several hundreds of thousands of rallies for the elections, and that's number one. Number two is people are so relaxed. They had 2 cricket matches. Cricket is a very popular sport in India, attended by almost 57,000 people in one of the states of Gujarat, where the prime minister is from, and the match is between India and England. And people in that stadium hardly ever wore any masks. The third important thing about the whole thing is there's a religious festival called Kumbh Mela. That's a very, very Hindu traditional holy festival where 2.5 million of people will take a holy dip in a river Ganges. And government of India allowed that to happen despite of all the physicians and all the organizations told them not to do it. Government did because of the politics. So all this contributed to rapid spread of the COVID. A country with 1.38 billion people and with few resources and rapidly spreading pandemic, they couldn't handle it. The whole health system is collapsed. It's collapsed to a certain extent. Even they couldn't provide beds in the hospitals, and there is no oxygen available, no ventilators available. Every hospital is full in Delhi and the major cities like Bombay, and it's worse in New Delhi, the capital of India. It is so bad in Delhi, almost 1 in 3 tested COVID positive. Almost 36% of the Delhi people are COVID positive. And even though they said there's only 380 or 400 deaths in Delhi from last 24 hours, people think it must be in thousands. This is evidenced by the government started building makeshift crematoriums to cremate the bodies, and they ran out of space. So they're using the stadiums and also public grounds to have a makeshift crematoriums to cremate the bodies. I mean, you can see those pictures. It's really grim. There is actually government of India importing oxygen from other countries and trying to help out. Maybe it's too little too late, but better late than never.
What part of India are you from?
I'm actually from South, but I did my residency in North India, so I'm very familiar with New Delhi, Varanasi, and Hyderabad.
And where does your mother live?
My mother lives in Hyderabad. It's part of the South India. She's safe right now. She got the first shot of Covishield, the vaccine, which is manufactured by AstraZeneca. came from United Kingdom. She got that. She's doing good. But she never came out of the house from last 6 months. That's the key, and she wears a mask at home.
Dr. Kanika Dandala, thank you so much for your time today. I really do appreciate it. And best wishes to both you and your family back there in India as they deal with this COVID crisis.
Okay, thank you very much. I really appreciate you having me on.
Dr. Krishna Kanika Dandala is an anesthesiologist with SSM Health. And that's all the time we have for this week's show. Thanks so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. If you want to hear parts of this show again, please log on to KMOX.com and look under the podcast section. Or you can download the Audacy app. That's spelled A-U-D-A-C-Y and favorite KMOX. This is KMOX Health Editor Fred Bottomer. Please join us again next week at the same time for another edition of Health Matters on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.